Welcome back to the Safety Storytellers podcast. My name is Stacy and I am your host. Lots of people talk about the next evolution in safety technology, and occasionally you run into a safety professional who is actually on the cutting edge of safety technology. In this next chat, I talk with that kind of person. Tom West is the vice president with Make You Safe, which creates innovative hardware like wearable safety devices. We talk about using technology to predict potential hazards and much more. Okay, Tom West, what am I wearing? What am I wearing?
It's the next evolution in safety technology.
Okay, so there's this picture that you sent, you say you gave me, and this guy is just working his normal day and he's just like wearing this. Mm-hmm. Is this what the next generation is going to look like? People are going to be wearing these daily?
Yeah, I think.
What even am I wearing?
Yeah, it's a wearable sensor technology that we've developed at Make You Safe. And if you don't mind, I'll back up just a minute and tell you a little bit about what led us to start this company. About 15 years ago, I was a college professor for about 30 years. But I had a long history of management and leadership.
Very cool.
Small business, entrepreneurial type classes over the course of 30 years. I taught a lot of stuff. And I've got a background in HR and learning and development. But about 15 years ago, there was a guy in my class that would, come into a night class at 6 o'clock, his eyes half closed, he was tired, new baby, working two jobs, and he's dragging his behind. And 5 minutes into class, he would look at me in the front row and say, you know, something you said last week just didn't sit well with me. And the rest of the students would realize, oh, these two are going to argue again for 3 hours. And we became friends. And Gabe was different then, and he's certainly different now. Very entrepreneurial and a critical thinker and a problem solver.
Ooh, and I like people that challenge other people in a really healthy way.
Well, that's the crux of it.
That's really wonderful.
Yeah. I helped him with a few businesses over the course of the last several years that he successfully grew and exited. And then about 7 years ago, I got a call that said, you know, I know it's Saturday, but do you think you can put aside your business and your life and come to work for me full time on Monday? And I did. And there's nobody else I would have said yes to. So,
wow.
His vision for Make You Safe really was born out of the fact that he's from a very large family that's always been in industry. And at the time, he had just exited a software company and went to visit his dad, who was a safety director responsible for about 2,000 people. And he was going to just take dad to lunch and showed up on a real bad day when there was a regulatory agency there to conduct an audit investigating a hearing loss claim.
Oh.
So dad couldn't go to lunch, but Gabe, being the smart guy that he is, started to follow around the auditors and ask an awful lot of really good questions about why we're waiting until accidents occur to look for, you know, contributing factors and root causes. And don't we live in an age now, if we're predicting that by the end of the week conditions are good for a tornado, why can't we use technology to highlight where risks and hazards exist and, you know, provide immediate notifications so that leadership can solve problems before people get hurt? So that started our path. To date, I think we've raised about $20 million. We're venture backed. We work with an awful lot of work comp insurers and a lot of, end users in industry. And it's something we're very proud of. We're now at work on four continents. So
wow.
For a technology startup based in Des Moines, Iowa, to have achieved this kind of rapid growth is quite impressive.
So what exactly am I wearing?
Yeah.
What is this called?
Well, it's called the Make You Safe wearable device, right? It's carried in an armband worn holster. So the core bit of electronics.
And I can wear this over my clothes and it will. It's
intended to be worn on the outside of clothing.
Yeah. Okay.
But in short, we're monitoring a bunch of environmental hazards, typically the realm of the industrial hygienist.
Okay.
You know, some seemingly simple things, but temperature and humidity being monitored around you as an individual allows us to calculate a real-time heat index for every individual, whether they're working indoors or out or in close proximity to, you know, heavy machinery or in the shade. So there's no more one-size-fits-all prescriptive approach.
Okay.
An awful lot of air quality monitoring. We're a full noise dosimeter within 18 inches of the head. So we're monitoring sound levels in
wow.
seven different octaves and calculating a time-weighted average of sound exposure for each individual worker.
So are these all the data points that you're gathering?
Yeah, those are all the sensors on board in that model.
Wow.
And that's why I thought that might be useful. And it, you know, we haven't even scratched the surface yet. If we combine now all of
this
those
thing is getting ambient light.
Yeah. Yeah. In Lux. Yesterday, I was
spatial awareness.
Yeah. We'll get to that one too. But in addition to all of that environmental data, which provides context for how work is done, we're also monitoring a lot of movement and motion and ergonomic risk. So everything from slip, trip, fall identification mm-hmm. to twisting and turning and pushing and pulling and strain, MSD prevention, really ultimately, the overall physicality of what it looks like to accomplish work. Mm-hmm. And there's no other wearable technology that combines both of those. Some do one or the other. We identify the location of where things are occurring. And lastly, maybe my favorite thing, not nearly as flashy, but I think it's certainly very, very important, the ability for any worker to push a button and activate voice reporting from their perspective. So near misses and good catches and observations from the frontline worker.
Wow, yeah.
And an organization that is interested in more insight into the reality of how work gets done
yes.
rather than what work looks like on a perfect world. If they've got the ability to just positively reinforce that behavior, thanks so much for telling me something you thought was important. Here's what we're doing about it.
Right.
Then tomorrow you're going to get three times as many. So, I just spoke here at the conference and do this exercise in my presentation. How many of you believe near misses are important? And every hand in the room goes up. How many of you have a structured near miss reporting program? About half the hands go down. How many of you left get as many near misses as you'd like? And more hands go down. How many of you get, more than 20 a month? And pretty much all the hands in the room go down. So we're not, learning about the things that may be the holy grail of keeping people safe. And those voice reports make sure that somebody doesn't have to stop their work, or remember to tell someone at the end of the day or go fill out some paperwork for something that didn't really happen.
Right.
Instead, they're focused on being productive. And all of that sensor data, which isn't about the person at all,
right.
but about experiences and exposures, can really be very robust and rich for organizations, frontline safety leaders, and even for corporate, hygienists and ergonomists. And so that's what we do. And
so what are the frontline workers saying? Because I can imagine if I was a frontline worker and you asked me to wear this, I would feel like a teenager that you're trying to track my phone and see where I'm at.
Yeah.
And you're gonna shake your finger at me. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
How do you combat that?
That's very real. And we have to address that every day. I think there are data concerns. There's, immediate perception of Big Brother. The reality is it doesn't necessarily have to be that way.
I agree.
So,
yes.
Philosophically, we made decisions long, long ago that we were not going to use sensors to look at the individual worker at all.
Okay.
There's nothing looking at you as a person, nothing personal, no biometrics, no PII.
Do they know that this one is on me though?
They can.
Okay.
The organization wants to know about problems and wants to know about what you're experiencing.
Yes.
So being able to communicate that is something that we as a company help with, but the organization's got to help communicate
that
too.
We're here to help you.
Right.
It's like, this is about being helpful.
Yep.
And it's about kind of creating that message around that right. to people because yeah. they can so balk at so everything.
Nothing personal. That's, you know, a big differentiator. We've also chosen to not, you know, constantly buzz people in an attempt to yeah. get them to change their behavior, right? That's just annoying. Nobody wants to wear that. It could be a distraction. It could create more of a hazard, we learned early on.
Yes.
And instead, we're passively gathering data that leadership teams want to be able to use to inform better decision-making based on data evidence.
How, what is your suggestion on how often they gather this data? How often they look at this data?
Well, that's a very good question. We're gathering data continuously.
Right.
All right. Taking snapshots of environmental conditions. And when something outside of normal work occurs, like a little slip, you might not even think that you slipped. Or, you know, your first reaction might be, I hope nobody saw that. I keep on with my day. But, you know, you might be one instance in a trend or a pattern that's been going on for a week in the loading dock, and we're able to drop pins on a location floor plan okay. so that those trends and patterns begin to emerge. How an organization and how its leadership team uses the data and how often they should look at it, we encourage everybody to, you know, opt in for immediate notifications about those voice reports.
Okay.
Right. That is a no-brainer. If somebody's telling you something, you should probably respond to them.
Do you have a software that this goes into, or would they maybe put it into like a different kind of safety software?
That's the other
like
half of the solution. We have an enterprise-grade software platform that we're very proud of that has evolved over time. And it really, its intent is to make data immediately actionable.
Right. That's so, what you, yes, agree. Yeah,
I mean, we don't do everything. We're not a repository for JHAs and inspections. We can integrate and exchange data with any software platform, given our open API structure.
Sure.
And we do that with a lot of clients. But for the frontline safety manager or shift supervisor to be able to, even on their phone, right, get immediate notifications about slips, trips, and falls, about, you know, the latest voice memos that have occurred, or Stacy's experiencing high heat and is in, you know, a high noise, low light environment, I want to go do an observation. So those things can be responded
wow.
to immediately.
Like they just go over there and mm-hmm. immediately mitigate this
yeah.
issue.
Yeah.
Very good.
So
well,
if you don't mind circling back to the beginning,
yeah.
the question that you asked me, you know, what is this? And I said, it's the next evolution of safety technology. My presentations here at the conference were really about not our product, although, you know, this is an emerging area. So what we've done and what we've learned and our approach is relevant. And now the results are impressive. But I think this will become ubiquitous, right? Every insurance company advertisement you see on TV mm-hmm. now has a module they want you to plug into your car. You know, we are where they...
I did that for my insurance company. I was like, I'm a good driver.
Yeah. Yeah.
But honestly... I was just the normal driver that I always was because mm-hmm. it just like, this is the, I didn't really change a lot.
Yeah.
So it got real actual mm-hmm. data from me.
And you probably got a discount for using it.
I did not.
No, I'm sorry. That might be your driving habits.
I did not. Oh, it is. It was terrible. I was like, why does this thing keep beeping at me?
Yeah.
You know, and I was, you know, but it was interesting because it was like, I was like, I did, I guess I stopped too quickly and it would beep. And I'm like, okay, so like, so I was able to actually help my, you know, my patterns mm-hmm. and like, I don't know, it was really interesting, but yeah. no, I did in fact not get a discount.
I think I was hoping I would.
I will blame that on my husband though, because he was also driving the same vehicle.
Oh, there you go.
And I could pull up on the thing. I'm like, you were driving that day. There's like 10 beeps.
Yeah.
You know, so the data's there.
Yeah.
You can get all the data. And really, I think what's interesting about that is like, I didn't really change. I mean, I changed some of the behaviors, but you got just real data.
Yeah.
I mean, it got real honest data.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I think we are where automobile telematics were just a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
And for work comp insurers, Which is one of the benefits of being based in Des Moines, Iowa. We're the largest insurance capital in the country. Or number one or number two to Hartford, depending on who you talk to. But we've been working with, risk control professionals, loss control, risk improvement at work comp carriers, agents, and brokers for a long, long time. There's a transformational shift happening in insurance. No longer is it, their desire to just be content with writing a check to repair and replace losses.
Right.
Instead, they're trying to predict and prevent and work with their policyholders and deploy the considerable resources that they have to help their insured solve problems. So we've worked with numerous insurance companies that are subsidizing pilots of our technology for their policyholders. And what we've seen is really dramatic in terms of loss histories and claims frequency and severity prior to Make You Safe and, just 6 months after.
I love this so much. I think, it is the next generation to safety. And this is, I think it's cool. I don't even know that I'm wearing it.
That's by design. in a lot of industrial environments, you can't wear something on your wrist. Right. I talked with somebody yesterday who said we're piloting Apple watches and we're about to deploy those to all of our workforce. And I was like, well, the first one of those that gets broken when you realize it costs $300 a piece. Mm-hmm. Right. Or somebody forgets it at home and it's not company controlled because you gave it to them. There's a lot of alternate solutions out there that just aren't as practical, easy to deploy. I mean, honestly, we cost less than work gloves. So technology has gotten very small.
Nice.
We're extremely robust and it's accessible and it can be human centric and respect worker privacy while accomplishing, those objectives for EH&S professionals.
Those are really good values. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I know the other people too. So it's so good talking to you.
Yeah, great to meet you too.
Thank you for joining us on the Safety Storytellers Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Sospis, bringing you the best EHS software in the industry. If you are ready to learn more about how an EHS software can transform your safety program, your profits, and your entire company, head to www.sospis.com/podcast. That's www.sospes.com/podcast. We'll see you next time on the Safety Storytellers.